Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
4 minutes past the hour. Good morning and welcome to a Wednesday. I'm Dick Whit with Faith Radio Mornings. So glad to have you tuning in. We really do appreciate you and just are honored that you're tuning in with us today. I'm again Dick Whitworth. It's a great joy to be with you along with Logan Rausch, our assistant producer, board op, and of course Paul Perreault, news and traffic, and certainly a great part of this Faith Radio Morning team. I love today's verse of scripture that you've just heard, Psalm 139, verses 4 and 5. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You follow me behind and before, and you lay your hand of blessing upon me. That's Psalm 139, verses 4 and 5. That's our verse for the day on Faith Radio. Thought it very, very appropriate. And may it be true for you today that his hand of blessing be upon you, and may you sense and know his covering before you enter into that meeting or that conversation, and know afterwards that he has your back, so to speak, as they say, Logan.
Absolutely. There's a lot of...
You kids say those things.
Oh, we kids say a lot of things. It's hard to keep track.
Hey, did you hear about there was a fire recently at the at Crothers... it's Crothersville, Indiana. Flames rose 12 feet in the air at a southern Indiana church, but not everything was burned. In fact, the sanctuary... the Lighthouse Tabernacle Church was badly damaged, but none of the Bibles in the worship in the hall were harmed at all.
Wow.
Isn't that kind of fun?
That's amazing.
So so there are good things happening today in the world. We've got so many great conversations coming up this hour. We want you to stay with us. Karen Swallow Pryor will be joining us in just a little bit. Had a chance to chat with her yesterday. She was recently in a bus accident, walked in front of a bus. She was admittedly, she will tell you in this next section, that she had her mind filled with other things, and she literally did not see the bus coming. Long story short, she's learned some valuable lessons about paying attention, number one, but also she's really connected it to sin and how sin, you know, is like being hit by a bus. We'll tell you more about that in a few moments. And then at 6:30, our good friend and University of Northwestern professor Kent Kaiser will be in. So much to talk about with Kent, to get his perspective on a number of things in addition to the yesterday's primary elections that went on in many states across the country, some of the ramifications. And we'll be just talking about maybe the Philadelphia Eagles. Just a lot going on in our world today. So here we are. We're 7 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Karen Swallow Pryor. She's a professor from the University, Liberty University. Good morning. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's a joy to be with you. Hope your day is going well. It's a privilege this segment to be talking to Karen Swallow Pryor. Karen, as many of you know, is a professor of English at Liberty University. Karen also is a research fellow with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, author of three books, the most recent on Reading Well, Finding the Good Life Through Great Books. And she has been a frequent guest with Bill Arnold on the Early Morning Late Show. So my first opportunity to get a chance to get acquainted with Karen. So, Karen, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Dick.
Well, it is a privilege, and looking forward to our conversation. And might I say right out the chute, thank God for sparing your life.
Oh, I join you in giving that thanks. I just recently had a harrowing brush with death, but the Lord protected me, and here I am able to be on the radio again.
Well, we are excited about that and grateful that that he has spared you, although I understand you're still in the healing process. This is really, our discussion is coming out of your article in the June 2018 edition of Christianity Today. Sin is like walking in front of a bus, and not to be overly humorous, that's exactly what happened to you, correct?
Yes, I literally was hit by a bus while walking in downtown Nashville a week or so ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I guess it's a couple of weeks now, yeah. Yes.
Can you tell us the story? What was going on? And let's talk about the article.
Sure. I was in Nashville for a brief 2-day conference, and had a meeting before the conference began, and was staying at a lovely hotel downtown, and my meeting was a 20-minute walk away, so I decided to walk in the morning rather than take a cab, and ended up getting a little bit lost. Google Maps wasn't serving me very well that morning. Got lost and was trying to get back to my hotel in order to try to find a cab to make my meeting in time, and just crossed an intersection where I did not see the bus. And I don't really know what happened next other than what the police report says, and got hit by the bus and found myself waking up on incredible pain on the road, surrounded by a number of good Samaritans who stopped to assist, and until the ambulance came, and then was taken to Vanderbilt Hospital, where I was for 8 days, and with a number of broken bones, collapsed lungs, staples in my head, and so forth. And now I'm now thankfully recuperating at home.
Oh, bless your heart. I understand from your article that some of the bystanders said that, I mean, literally you were lifted 15 to 20 feet in the air. My goodness.
Well, across the air, I guess, you know, 15 yeah. to 20 feet from where I was hit by the bus. Yes. And so,
however you measure it, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. Yes. So I'm thankful to be alive, thankful that my injuries were not worse, that I will, you know, should all heal. My surgeon said that I'll be running again in 4 months. I am a runner and a weight trainer. So apparently doing all of that is a big part of what is making my recovery as quick as it is, because I was in fairly good condition for a middle-aged lady when I got hit. So I'm very thankful that God used that to help me in this situation, which I never obviously expected to happen.
Well, no, and we're grateful that you're on the other side of this in regards to recovery. When did you start putting the connection that sin is like getting hit by a bus? That's, I mean, that is taking advantage of show prep. I mean, that's life's adventure.
Yeah. Well, I am a writer, and so I do process things by writing. And this is actually the first thing I've ever written in my life that I dictated into the notes application in my phone for the first draft. I was just, you know, I didn't have a laptop with me. I was really too weak to type. And so I just held my phone and dictated those thoughts. And actually the first draft is pretty similar to what the finished product was. But I think, you know, I think there are a number of things that led me to connect this accident to sin. The main thing I think I want to, I know we'll be on for two segments, and I'll save that for the second segment. But just simply, I mean, Vanderbilt University Hospital is like a city, and the many, many people that were around me, serving me, the different teams of medical professionals, I just couldn't help but think about how all their lives were so affected by this one, you know, little terrible thing. Even the bystanders that were there to help, you know, I made one error by, you know, somehow not seeing this bus, and their lives were affected, the lives of the medical team. My poor husband, who was not with me, I was, you know, traveling on business. he got the phone call at work and had to drop everything and drive 9 hours to be there with me in the hospital. And all the friends and family that were concerned, I thought, you know, for good or bad, the little error that we make can just have such a huge ripple effect. So sitting there lying there in the hospital, being surrounded by all of these people whose lives were affected by me, just made me think about how one small lapse that we have can have this kind of ripple effect that we don't even see the effects often. But sin is just like that.
Wow, that's powerful. We're going to continue talking to Karen here in just a few moments. We're going to take a short break. Karen Swallow Pryor is our guest. She's a professor of English at Liberty University, and she's an author and also a recent contributor to Christianity Today. Sin is like walking in front of a bus. We'll have more on Faith Radio Mornings in just a moment. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's a joy to have you tuning in today. Thank you for your continued listening. By the way, if you're just joining us and discovering that Bill Arnold is no longer on the Early Morning Late Show, you can catch Bill this afternoon from 3 to 5 Central Time, where he has taken over that slot. And I know he'll enjoy the reconnect if you were unaware. My guest today and in this segment is Karen Swallow Pryor. She's a professor of English at Liberty University and a recent contributor in a Christianity Today article. Sin is like getting hit by a bus or something to that equation. Sin is like walking in front of a bus. And Karen, continue your story, because you're talking about the effects of sin. It's not isolated. There are certainly outer circles of damage control. What else did you learn from this?
Well, you know, one of the things I mentioned in the article is that part of the reason that I was distracted that morning and worried and concerned is because, as you mentioned in the first segment, I'm a Southern Baptist and I'm involved in the Southern Baptist Convention as a research fellow in the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Conference. And anyone who's been paying attention knows that Southern Baptists are in a bit of a turmoil today in recent weeks. And I've been at the forefront sort of accidentally, not something I set out to do, but I helped to circulate and sign a petition calling for accountability for one of our most revered leaders in recent decades of the Southern Baptist Convention, and that is Paige Patterson. And the night before my accident and even the morning of my accident, I was doing multiple interviews because the board of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where Patterson was serving as president, was making a decision as to whether to keep him or not in that position because of some very troubling, a history of very troubling statements that he has made regarding women. And so the news that he was removed from that position had broken that morning and was very much on my mind. And so I was thinking about how the sin of someone like that, regardless of the level of it, because people dispute that, also has an effect and on many, many people. And after I got hit by the bus and broken my body, so many bones broken, I was thinking about the church body being broken by leadership that, even if it's well-intended leadership, but looking to be biblically faithful in one area, but overlooking other areas, such as the treatment of women, especially women who have been assaulted and abused, which is the center of the controversy concerning Dr. Patterson. And so that's another connection that I made to sin in this article, that we can easily be distracted even in the course of doing good. And even in the course of doing good, we can do wrong simply by negligence or ignoring one good in pursuit of doing another good.
Mm, that's powerful. You know, Karen, though, what I appreciated about your article in Christianity Today is that you didn't just leave us there with the consequences. You did have a redemptive mm-hmm. aspect, and that's the good news that we all share in the Christian faith.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we are so imperfect, all of us. And regardless of whether our sins are, by a human perspective, large or small, we ourselves just simply cannot get out of the consequences ourselves. Again, being bedridden in the hospital with many broken bones, I kept thinking about all of the people that were there to help me and serve me and help me to heal, and how important it is for all of us to... You know, imagine if I had tried to deny or ignore these injuries, they would never heal. So when we do sin, Christ is there to rescue us from our sin. But first we have to repent. We have to admit, we have to acknowledge that we have done wrong, even if it's wrong that we didn't intend to do. Otherwise, our physical bodies, as well as our spiritual bodies and the body of the church, will remain broken, deformed, and malformed. So Christ is there, but we have to repent, we have to confess, we have to acknowledge the condition that we're in without him.
Oh, that's powerful. Your closing line in the article says, but to ignore our sin, to refuse to repent of it, once it has been pointed out to us, is as disastrous as ignoring a massive bus bearing down on us. I'm sure you have... the article makes us all have a new appreciation for the power of sin and the ramifications of it. And I'm sure as you see a bus, you have a newfound respect for a bus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I haven't been out and about yet, but when I am, I will certainly be much more aware of all of my surroundings and will certainly understand the consequences of a poor decision and sin in my life just because of this connection that I see of the ripple effect that it has.
It's truly there, and you made a great point. And thank you for using your tragedy, your challenges to encourage us, to remind us that sin is ever pervasive, and sin is never done in silence, so to speak. There are always ramifications and consequences. Karen Swallow Pryor has been our guest. She's a professor of English at Liberty University and a research fellow with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of Southern Baptist Convention. Karen, I enjoyed our conversation. I hope you'll come again to be a part of the Faith Radio Morning Show.
I'd love to. Thank you so much for having me.
And we wish you a speedy recovery. Thank you so very much today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you, Wes Stafford, and thank you, Ken Davis. There were a lot of sighs and groans in the studios. That was seriously punny. By the way, if you would like to listen again to the Karen Swallow Pryor interview, it's on our website at myfaithradio.com. We'll be shortly after today's show, as is all of our interviews and shows. If you can't hear a particular program at your liking, you can always go to our website and hear it then. And again, any of our interviews shortly after the program is over, you can catch us with a podcast and a repeat, and you can share it with a friend. Maybe somebody you were thinking of needed to hear that. You can pass it along. By the way, while you're at our website, myfaithradio.com, don't forget to sign up to win the new Christian Standard Study Bible for Women. It's brand new. It's an incredible piece of work. We're giving one CSB study Bible for women each week. We're giving that away, and you have to be entered to win. So we'd love to send one to you. Again, that's at myfaithradio.com. I'm Dick Whitworth. This is Faith Radio Morning. We're 29 minutes past the hour, and coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking to Dr. Kent Kaiser. He's a regular Wednesday morning guest, and there's so many things to talk about. We can talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, the California election, Super Tuesday for at least 8 states yesterday. A lot on his plate and mind, and look forward to hearing what he has to say and think. And we'll be back with more Faith Radio Mornings in just a few moments. News. 34 past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth, and coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking to the completely tanned and fit-looking Dr. Kent Kaiser. He was on a canoe yesterday, or actually in a canoe, thankfully. We'll be talking to him in just a moment. But in the meantime, Jimmy Page, who's a fitness expert and author, was on My Faith Radio not too long ago and said he talks about how prevalent sugar is in the average person's diet and how it prevents us from losing weight.
Most of us are addicted to products with a lot of sugar. And that sugar dulls your sense for enjoyment for something like water. So when I tell most people to, hey, you got to increase your water intake, and here's all the benefits, not only weight loss, but improves your digestion and your immune system. Hey, you don't want to get sick, drink water. And they start to drink it, and they go, I just don't like water. Well, part of that is because we have grown so accustomed to and addicted to a sugary sensation when we drink, that we reject anything that doesn't have it. And it speaks to the other issue there of the diet sodas trick your body into thinking that it's getting sugar because it has that sweetness, but your body's not actually receiving the sugar, so it calls actually for more sugar. So you think you're doing the right thing drinking that soda, that diet soda, because you're not getting the sugar, but the very opposite effect is happening because your body will then go eat and drink more foods with sugar, and consequently you'll gain more weight.
And like Logan, I put all of my water over coffee grounds, and that's how it works for me. That's Jimmy Page, fitness expert and author, addicted to sugar. You can find out more about Jimmy at our website, myfaithradio.com. In the search bar, put his name, Jimmy Page, or addicted to sugar, and you can hear the entire interview. Dr. Kent Kaiser, up next on My Faith Radio Mornings.
Whether you realize it or not, as a parent, you're teaching your children something about your view of God by not teaching them. This is Jim Garlow. Sometimes it's what you don't say or you don't do that has a major impact on your children, especially when it comes to their attitude about God. Example, one is certainly absentee dads. If you're not there, you can't impact your children. Or even if you are there, you're disengaged. It's the same thing. Detrimental impact. We need to grasp the clear, solid, consistent teaching in the home. Don't underestimate the slyness of this world in teaching your children. When Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, he didn't mean if we don't do it, it won't happen. Think about it. Somebody is going to teach your children about God, one way or the other. Mom? Dad? Will it be you? It ought to be. Let's make it so. This is Jim Garlow.
Of course, the walk-up music for Dr. Kent Kaiser of the University of Northwestern, professor. He is a good friend to Faith Radio and a longtime morning show guest. Welcome.
Good morning.
Well, you are strikingly tanned. Talk to us about
that.
Yeah,
I got to go out canoeing and fishing yesterday and the day before, so I got a little bit of sun. But I've been getting a lot of sun. I was out on that 100-degree day. I was out golfing. So, but it's... it's my face and my arms. I have like such a farmer tan. It's not even funny. My legs are the whitest. I have the whitest legs, and if I put on shorts, they like glow.
Well, it was striking this morning, and we certainly appreciate you coming in. Of course, June, July, and August, the best reasons for being a professor.
Well, it's a good reason. Yeah, it's nice to be able to take off a couple of weekdays here and there.
Well, we are again honored to have you with us, and there's a lot to talk about, and I don't really know where to start other than, yesterday was there were 8 states that were kind of like a Super Tuesday kind of primaries. Thoughts, reactions. I know right here in Minnesota there were a lot of thumb puzzle moves, right?
Right. Well, it's interesting. In Minnesota yesterday was the filing deadline. It's always interesting to watch that day. When I used to work in the Secretary of State's office, we'd kind of wait around for that day because you never know who's going to step up at the last minute as a surprise candidate and take on maybe the the incumbent or take on the endorsed candidate from one of the parties or the other. The big surprise yesterday was when Keith Ellison, who's a member of Congress and also chair of the Democratic National Committee, he decided not to run for re-election to Congress and instead run for attorney general in our state. He says it's for personal reasons. I'm sure it's a much easier job. It doesn't have that whole grind of flying back and forth to Washington, D.C., and you can kind of pick your schedule when you're attorney general of a state. And so he decided to do that because our current attorney general decided that at the last minute that she was going to run for governor. And so there was all this shifting around. And as soon as Keith Ellison decided that he was going to run for attorney general, umpteen people filed for his congressional seat. Now, they have it'll be interesting to see what happens. They have until tomorrow to back out of it. And so what happens in this case in our state is people will sort of file defensively or whatever you want to say, and then maybe they will decide, like, oh, my other friend is also running, so I'm going to back out. So they have 2 days to do that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens after tomorrow, who's actually running for Congress. But there are some interesting characters running for Congress for Keith Ellison's seat. And so it'll be interesting to see. Yes, and in the other states that we've you know, there's been a lot made, a lot of news lately about how many women are running, and it is interesting to see. And one of the ones who was most interesting, I think, for a lot of us is in California. Dianne Feinstein is the sitting U.S. senator. She's been there for a long, long time, and some people think she's getting a little old to be running, and she kind of had said that she wasn't going to run again, but then she changed her mind. She said she would run.
She has some tendencies to be moderate.
And she does have some tendencies to be moderate, especially on foreign policy issues. Probably not at all on domestic issues, but on foreign policy issues, she's pretty level-headed most of the time. And so she's kind of out of step with the Democratic Party in California at this point, which has really gone off the liberal end. And so she had some challengers. And in fact, you know, it's interesting, even Nancy Pelosi, whose name people probably recognize because she's the leader of the Democrats in the House, she had a couple of primary challengers who were to her left. I mean, we think of Nancy Pelosi as being about as left wing as you can possibly be in Congress. And in San Francisco, that is not left wing enough.
That's Hawaii, right? Yeah. You can't get any farther left.
Yeah, she wasn't left wing enough, so she actually had two primary challengers from the left.
Well, I don't know the whole story, but I know Gavin Newsom, who was the anticipated Democratic candidate for governor in California, has actually a Republican contender that shocked everybody. Cox, I think.
Well, yeah, I think that the Republican there in California, it's interesting because they're starting to get a little bit of a backlash to a lot of the liberal policies there in California. Much of California is actually pretty conservative. Like if you were to go to Eastern California, or even Northern California, north of San Francisco, you'd find a lot of conservatives living there, and then also in the San Diego area. So,
yes.
You know, you have just kind of along the coast there between L.A. and San Francisco, that's where the liberals kind of congregate. You're getting a little bit of a backlash because some of the policies have been kind of ridiculous, and so those people who are kind of in the middle are rebelling.
Yeah, I had to laugh. The California Attorney General, Xavier Becerra, added Oklahoma to the, you know, we can't visit list because the governor, Mary Fallon there, had signed a law in Oklahoma that basically protected religious-based adoption agencies from discrimination lawsuits. So Oklahoma is now not allowed to be visited by Californians. And Mary Fallon says, okay.
Yeah, right. No, and this happened, this happened with Indiana as well. With Indiana had its policies of, they'll say, against LGBT. And so there were states that were saying that they wouldn't allow their employees to go to Indiana for events. You know, the same kind of a thing happened after Trump got elected internationally, where there were countries saying, oh, we're no longer going to have our conference or whatever in the United States. Well, you know, the market works itself out. You know, like right now with Oklahoma, you know, if Oklahoma in any way suffers from Californians not coming there for conferences or something, which is, I think, highly unlikely, but if they were to suffer at all, the prices would go down and it would make Oklahoma more attractive to other states and they'd all flock in there. So it's It's not as though California's just, you know, it's just they're on their soapbox. That's all.
Well, I think California is suffering some of the similar fate that Illinois is currently suffering. As a former resident of Illinois, grew up there. Something like 70,000 residents left the state over the last 2 years in Illinois because of just increasing tax loads and an anti-business kind of approach to things. I think that's happening in California as well. There's high taxes,
and high homelessness. I mean, here's the thing. I saw statistics on this recently. California and New York have some of the highest homelessness in the country, and some of the lowest would be in states like Oklahoma or Texas or Florida. You know, the states that have the more conservative policies with the more vibrant business communities, of course, are the ones with the lowest homelessness. In fact, you know, I heard when I was visiting California recently, there was others to Arizona. Arizonans are kind of mad at California because there are some mayors, like in San Diego and other areas, where they are actually paying for one-way bus tickets for the homeless to go over and live in Arizona and things. You know, I mean, this is how bad it is that they can't just take care of their homeless, right? That they got to ship them out for other states to take care of them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You're listening to to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth, Dr. Kent Kaiser, chair of the communications department. Great to have him here with us. Summer break for him, and he's fully tanned, and it shows, right? Hey, before we go, this was very, very interesting. We had, there was a comment, actually a tweet, and I'm looking, pardon me, I'm looking for the quote. But a tweet from Ayatollah Khomeini.
I got this.
Yeah.
Yeah, the prime minister, this is interesting, because on the same day, the prime minister of Israel tweeted out, imagine Iranian and Israeli entrepreneurs working together in Iran and in Israel for the betterment of all humanity. That's my hope. That's my vision. And that can be our future. Meanwhile, the leader of Iran tweets out, our stance against Israel is the same stance we've always taken. Israel is a malignant, cancerous tumor in the West Asian region that has to be removed and eradicated. It is possible, and it will happen. And then...
And we have a culturally relevant student.
Then the Israel embassy in the United States tweeted out,
no words, no comments, just the clip from Mean Girls.
Why are you so obsessed with me?
Why are you so obsessed with me?
Perfect.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more from Kent Kaiser and the Faith Radio Morning Show. Minutes past the hour on this Wednesday here in the Twin Cities. A little bit of rain and storms blowing through quickly. I don't think it will amount to much, although check the weather in your market today, as hopefully you'll have some sunshine and warmer temperatures. Dr. Kent Kaiser, who is the chair of the communications department, a regular Wednesday morning guest. We talk a number of topics, and want to talk a little bit about the whole pardon controversy. When President Trump was talking about his ability to pardon himself. And as I understand it, from what little constitutional understanding I bring to a conversation like this, is that it's really relatively unclear about where his pardon opportunities end. Do you think it's just like how he normally plays the game? He throws the ball way down the field when really he only wants to get to the 50-yard line?
Yeah, it's called a trial balloon, I think. Yeah, I don't know what, you know, the president does have these broad powers, but I'm not a constitutional expert either. But whether it's legal or not, it would be a PR nightmare.
Oh, mine. Yes.
So Republicans are saying, like, this is dead on arrival. Like, you couldn't possibly, you'd kill the Republican Party for years if you pardoned yourself. There'd be just such a backlash. But the president does have these broad powers to issue pardons. And normally the requests for pardons go through a process to the Department of Justice and so on. But this president hasn't been using that process so much. I mean, people have probably seen some of the more prominent pardons that he's issued recently, including Dinesh D'Souza and others, where he didn't go through that process. He just issued the pardon on his own, like through the White House rather than through the Department of Justice. And this is it's not unheard of for that to happen. Remember
Mark Rich?
Right. Remember President Clinton pardoned his brother for some drug charges and stuff. So it's happened in the past, and the president, I think, he's got the right to make these judgments about whether people got a fair shake, and he's the ones that he's taken up are the ones where he feels like the person didn't get a fair trial or didn't get a fair judgment, or in the case of Dinesh D'Souza, for example, he thought that there should have been a fine, not some
right.
sentence for prison or whatever, and that's been the case with the others that he's issued.
Yeah, historically there were some campaign finance laws broken that never resulted in any kind of conviction or incarceration or those kinds of things. They were just a slap on the wrist with a small fine. Even things like Martha Stewart's.
Right. Well, and you can see, I've always had the same this philosophy, and I think you maybe see this with the president too. If somebody's committed a financial crime, then why throw them in prison? Slap them, because if you throw them in prison, then we taxpayers are paying for that. Why not, if it's a financial crime, why not just slap them with a big fine? Because it's a financial crime. And then the people actually get the money out of them or something rather than putting money into them. In the case of Martha Stewart, that's obviously a famous case. If you think about it, Martha Stewart went to prison, didn't really hurt her. Who it hurt was like the 300 people who were working for her.
Right.
And some of them lost their jobs and so on. Obviously, as a billionaire, she's not really going to be affected too much by going to prison for a little bit of a stint. In fact, she turned it into a PR plus in some ways as she came out triumphant and she didn't. And a lot of people think that, I know people, liberal, conservative across the board, who don't think Martha Stewart should have been going to prison in the first place, because it didn't seem like it was really her. She didn't seem to do anything wrong. She was kind of unknowing or unwittingly, broke the law or something like that. And so you can totally see how President Trump might want to pardon somebody like her.
Sure. Russia continues to evolve. Andrew McCabe is seeking immunity to testify, or else he'll plead the fifth. Did you read about that?
I did, and I just this has just gone on too long. I think that at some point we just need to wrap this up. I think the people are. I mean, you listen to people across the country. People are just sick of it. At this point, the whole Russia investigation has become like white noise. I think it's actually becoming more of an albatross for the Democrats at this point, because it seems like all they're doing is just going on and on and on with this to try and get the president. I think that, if this goes on long enough, they're going to find things about Obama and Clinton that they don't want to find out. But that's just me. I think that it's to the Democrats' peril that this continues on and on and on. They should wish for an end of it as well.
Well, I think it's a win for everybody. Let's get it out in the open and let's find out what really has been happening and deal with the ramifications. Do you think there's anything new in the Inspector General's report? I mean, they keep predicting it's coming out tomorrow or soon,
right. And
it's still 2 or 3 weeks delayed, from my understanding.
I doubt that there's anything different, anything new in there. I guess we'll see, but I doubt it. It seems to me that if there were anything really great, it would have come out.
It would be in the
newspaper. Yeah, it would be in the news already, because there's been enough leaks and everything else around this investigation that I can't imagine that anything really important is still to be told if they already know it.
Is there a secret in Washington anywhere?
Probably not.
Ked Kaiser, God bless you. Appreciate you coming in today. What's on the schedule for this week? Where are you fishing tomorrow?
No, not fishing. I'm doing a little bagpiping this week.
Are you really? Where at?
Yeah, down at McAllister. They've got some events, so I'm helping out a little bit.
Are you performing or judging?
Performing,
what?
Yeah. It's not a public performance. It's like for some of their homecoming and alumni events and things. So we'll play for some of the old people down there, I guess, who are coming back to celebrate their graduation 50 years later or whatever.
Well, we wish you well, and have a nice weekend, and hopefully we'll see you next Wednesday.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Dr. Kent Kaiser, he is chair of the communications department at the University of Northwestern, a good friend and certainly a great contributor to Faith Radio Mornings. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back. We'll wrap up hour number one of Faith Radio Mornings. It's 55 past the hour. Happy Wednesday. I'm Dick Whitworth again. Such a joy to be with you. Thank you for listening. We really do appreciate your faithfulness in tuning in, and hopefully the programs are encouraging and informative and helpful. Special thanks to the Faith Radio Morning team, including Rachel Sutton and Logan Roush and Paul Perot. They help put things together and make it all happen. It's a joy to work with such a great team. By the way, coming up next hour, we're going to be talking to Bill English from Bible and Business. We're going to be talking about some of the danger signs, some of the warning signs that your business may be headed for disaster. And that would be important for you to know, both as an employer and as an employee. And then the second half of the hour, we're going to be talking to John and Kendra Smiley. They're longtime friends. They have a segment that they would like to talk about, how to make sure that husbands and wives are able to have adult conversations when it's more than just a conversation. There's something that perhaps is a little longer. They're also parenting experts. They wrote a book a few years back on parenting a strong-willed child. And they really take the approach that just be the parent. So if you have a parenting question, or a concern that you would like to run by John and Kendra, I know they would be glad to speak to you. That'll be coming up at about 7:40 this morning. And the number is 877-933-2484. So if you can write your question down or be prepared to give us a call, we'll take as many calls as we can get in that time segment. It's 877-933-2484. And we will welcome your involvement and your question or comment for John and Kendra. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick. Again, great to have you tuning in. Bill English is in the house. I can see him out there. He's ready to be stepping into the studio. We'll be talking about some danger signs regarding business and perhaps business failures.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend, and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.